Matthew chapter 5. The message today is about peacemakers. There are several scriptures I want to read to you. So, bear patiently, because all these scriptures that I read to you are essential. I start in the New Testament, and then I want to show you that the subject is also part of the Old Testament. But as we men were studying the Beatitudes in past weeks, this was one of the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, and look at verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers, and they're going to be called sons of God. Now, to show you what that means, turn to chapter 7. Chapter 7. So let's look at the reference in chapter 5. In chapter 5, and look at verse 44 to show you what it means to be sons of God. 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So this is what it means. To be a peacemaker, it said, they shall be called the sons of God. Why? Because a son displays the character of his father. And those that are peacemakers display the character of their father. Now, let me show you in Mark chapter 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. And these references are so interesting. Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace one with another. Now turn to Romans 12, and look at verse 17. Render to no man evil for evil. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as in you lieth. Be at peace with all men. And 1 Thessalonians 5, and these will be the references in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and look at verse 13, speaking about those that are over the Christians that help them. It says in verse 13, and to esteem them exceeding highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Now let's look in the Old Testament at Deuteronomy. Turn in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy, and then I want to read you one or two more references in the New Testament, but in Deuteronomy, first of all, to show you a principle of God. Chapter 20, and look at verse 10. When Israel is going in to take the promised land, which God had given to them, this was their approach. Verse 10. When thou drawest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it, and it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace and open unto thee, then blessing follows. If not, destruction follows. Chapter 6 of Proverbs now. Proverbs 6, and look at verse 16. And please let these truths sink in your heart and listen to what God says about this. 6:16. There are six things which the Lord hates, yea, seven, which are an abomination unto him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked purposes, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that uttereth lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Notice Christ said, blessed are the peacemakers. Notice what it says in verse 19. He that soweth discord among brethren. Here are mischief makers, trouble makers. Now, in the New Testament, let's turn to Ephesians. I want you to see two references in the New Testament. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who made both one, that is Jew and Gentile, and broke down the middle wall of partition. And it says, he is our peace. Now, Colossians. Just two more books over to Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians 1, and look at verse 20. And through him, Christ, to reconcile all things unto himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now let us speak to God again in prayer. Now Father, we thank you for all of these portions of scripture that we've read telling us about this subject of peace. Our God, there is so much more that you have to tell us. We remember that you yourself say, there is no peace saith my God unto the wicked, and that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, let us know that this subject is not one that is isolated, but one that you tell us about throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament. We pray, our God, that we may take it to heart. Let us understand that there are some things that you love, and there are some things that you hate, and there are some things that you look upon your children and see, and you bless them for it. And there are some things in your children that you look upon, and you would judge them for it. So help us understand about this matter of being peacemakers. Your Son said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So help us as we go along and consider these passages, empowered by thy Spirit, and cleansed from sin as you promised, because we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As I was reading these scriptures about blessed are the peacemakers, I was startled with the fact that the one who spoke about blessed are the peacemakers was the greatest peacemaker himself. Like this, when our Savior said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And the one who told us to take up our cross was he who took up the heaviest of crosses. And so that was a pattern in the life of our Savior, to tell you something, and what he placed upon you, a far greater burden, had first of all been placed upon him. And any responsibility that he entails us to carry out, he himself was to carry out. And so I thought, first of all, about blessed are the peacemakers. I thought of men, the peacemakers. But then I thought of Christ, who is the greatest of peacemakers. I read you in Ephesians and Colossians, and I shall tell you other references. And what is so remarkable is that one of the greatest titles of our Savior is that of peacemaker. And so it says in John's Gospel, it says, no man hath beheld God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He, being the Son, declares the Father. It says, we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So when the Bible speaks about a Son and the Father, he would have us to look at that Son and to see what is in the Father. And that is what the Savior says concerning Christians who have become like their Father and like the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are the peacemakers to be called the sons of God? Because the peacemakers are they that reflect the character of God. And why is Jesus Christ the greatest peacemaker? Because he is the one who reflects in the greatest possible way the character of his Father, who is called this over and over and over again, the God of peace. Paul says it again and again. Hebrews, the God of peace, who brought again the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So the Scripture presents, first of all, the Father to us as the God of peace, and then he presents the Son of God to us as the greatest of peacemakers. First of all, you have to know what it means when the word peace is spoken of in the Bible. What will surprise you is this, that you look at the word peace as it is in the original, and it's translated peace so many times, but then you have read this passage before, but I doubt if you knew that it was the identical word peace. It says in Acts chapter 7 that two men were fighting with one another, and Moses sought to set them at one. Now the word set them at one was to make peace exist between them. Now that's beautiful. You can grasp that. If you see two people fighting with one another, they are at odds with one another. And then if you can somehow reconcile them to one another, if you can bring them at one with one another, then instead of being at odds, they are not at odds. There is peace that exists, and they are set at one. So peace is to be set at one with another person, because it takes two to be at odds. You have men that are at odds with one another, and this is what is so frightening. You have God and men at odds with one another. And men need to be set at one, and God and man need to be set at one. And the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And I will tell you in the will of God presently about men who sought to make peace among men. And I will tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who could set at one an alienated mankind, enemies of God. There was only one who could make peace between God and men, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why the greatest of peacemakers is the Lord Jesus Christ, because you may, in some small way, reconcile men and women that are at disagreement with one another. But please tell me how you of yourself can reconcile alienated, sinful enemies of God. How can you reconcile them to God of yourself? You say, I can do nothing in that respect. There was only one who could. And it says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And a mediator is one who can lay hands on the Father and who can lay hands on his fellow man, and he can set the two at one. He can make peace. And so the Lord Jesus, during his life on earth, sought to set men at one with one another, and he also made it possible for God and men to be at one, to be at peace with one another. And that is the beauty of the scriptures that I read to you. It sets before us the truth of the matter, that there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The worldly, those that have failed to comprehend what the Word of God says, will tell you that God is at peace with all men, that all is well, that when you die, you go into the presence of a God who will look upon you with peace. But that is a lie of Satan, because those that leave this world and go into the next, they are not facing a God of peace, and they are not facing a Savior of peace, but they are facing an enemy to whom they have not been reconciled, and they will never be reconciled. And concerning the meeting of men with Christ in the coming day, the gentleness of men, it says in Revelation 6, that in the coming day, the enemies of God are going to say, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and upon the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath is come, and who is able to stand? And rather than face God with peace, and that's what man would have you to think, have you to think that you can live a life of sin, and then when you die, you go into the presence of God, and you're looking into a face of God that is at peace. But the face of God is so fearful to look upon when you die without Christ, that men shall fly to the mountains and to the hills to cover them and hide them from the face of God and from the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why, in the scriptures, it speaks about the peace of God. And this is what it says. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But until you are justified by faith, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So who is the greatest peacemaker? The Lord Jesus Christ. And during his span on earth, he sought to cause men to be at peace with one another. And you would think that those that he would set at peace would be those that did not follow him, those that rejected him. But in the portion that I read you, they were not the enemies of Christ, but they were the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And had I taken time to read the whole portion to you in Mark chapter 9, this is what you would find. That the disciples were talking in an animated way with one another as they walked along, and the Lord Jesus was ahead of them. And they did not think that he could hear or knew what they were talking about. But he knew. And so when he got up with them, he said to them, he said, what are you talking about as we were walking along the way? And they would not tell him what they were talking about. Why? Because they were arguing with one another who was the greatest. Now, would you like to tell Christ that? If you were talking with some of the brethren, if I were talking with some of my fellow preachers, you think you're the greatest? Not a chance. I'm the greatest of all, not only among the brethren, but all. And the Lord Jesus said, come here. What were you just talking about with your brethren? I would not tell him. And so the Lord Jesus knew. And so the ones to whom these remarks are addressed are his 12 disciples. And so there is one thing as being reconciled to God and having peace with God. But the next step is maintaining that peace by walking with God as Enoch did, and also maintaining peace with all your brethren, because it does not come automatically. It is something that God demands once you trust Christ as Savior, but it is something that does not come automatically. So they were arguing with one another who was the greatest. And he gives a discourse about this matter, and at the end, he says, be at peace among yourselves. And the saddest thing is that I think of some of the children of God, and some of them are arch enemies with one another. They will not speak to one another. They hate one another. And when those conditions exist, I ask myself the question, are they truly children of God? That there are disagreements among the people of God, yes. You find it throughout the entire scripture. But if they continue to hate one another and they refuse to be at peace with one another, I ask the question, are they truly children of God? For this reason, it says this, that little children, we are to love one another. It says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And so if you have brethren and sisters hating one another, the Bible says, no murderer, and one who hates his brother is a murderer, has eternal life abiding in him. And I have every reason to doubt that you're a child of God if you refuse to be at peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It is something that must be remedied. And so I told you that Christ is the greatest peacemaker, and therefore, when his own disciples were at enmity with one another, he gave them a message on peace. And then the last thing he said to them was this, be at peace among yourselves. It is so good to have people that are open in the Lord for this reason. If someone who is my equal comes and tries to persuade me to such and such a thing, I say, who are you? Mind your own business. But I think of this. If years ago, when I was a young man, and one of the older, respected men in the assemblies came and said to me, you should be at peace with your brother, I would have more respect, and I could not renounce the suggestion that that older brother gave. And so when it speaks about obey those that have the rule over you, and it says to esteem exceeding highly in love sake them that are over you and admonish you, then this is what it says, and be at peace one with another. And so it happened when Christ was on earth that the best that he could find among men, and how inferior we are, that those original apostles were arguing who was the greatest. And he had to say it to them, be at peace with one another. And you would think that the church would have learned that lesson. But then, when the apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, he says to them, be at peace among yourselves. And so, there was enmity between God's children, and that which Christ came to preach and came to establish, and he tried to do it among his own when he was on earth, it was something that needed to continually be worked at among the New Testament church, and then also among those who are God's children and those who are not God's children. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. He says, if it be possible, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. That means all God's children, but it means all mankind. And it's impossible to be at peace with all men because it is a twofold thing. But Paul tells us in Romans 12, if it be possible, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. And I can do nothing about the world hating me and rejecting my Savior, but I am to be at peace with that individual. I would have thought, and I'm afraid that I would have followed the example of his disciples when they wanted to call down fire from heaven and destroy some of those that showed animosity toward Christ. The Lord Jesus said, you do not know what spirit you are of. And so the exhortation is for us to be at peace among ourselves. And in the world, not for me to hate the world, but for me to, as much as in me lieth, to be at peace with all men, which does not mean compromise, but it means that there will be no animosity, no hatred, no rejection. It means that if a worldling comes who has been my enemy his whole life long and says, I have sinned and I want to trust Christ as Savior, you receive that man. You say, well, wouldn't every brother do that? Why, Christ spoke in Luke chapter 15 about two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother. And the younger brother had gone into a far country and had sinned, and he had come to himself, and he came home with a broken and contrite heart, and he was so humbled that he said, make me as one of your hired servants. And the father said, I'm going to establish you and give you the best robe and a ring and shoes on your feet. And when his older brother heard about it, he heard music and dancing, he called one of the servants and he said, what is going on inside there? He said, your young brother has come home safe and sound, and your father has killed for him the fatted calf. And it says that older brother would not go in. And his father came out and pleaded with him. And we do not know to this day if that older brother ever went in. And so this is why, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. The young brother would like nothing more than the older brother to be his friend, to be reconciled. The father had accepted the young brother. Now he wants the older brother to be at peace with his brother after the flesh. And that is what God wants. And I think in some families that brothers will not speak to one another, and a brother and sister will not speak to one another. Well, we are not to reject them, but we are to seek to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men, with the men that make up the Church of Jesus Christ, and with the men that make up the rest of the inhabitants of the earth, hoping that someday perhaps they will trust Christ as Savior, and they too shall be among those who enjoy the peace of God. So the greatest peacemaker, the Lord Jesus. I told you that in his case, he tried to make peace with words when he spoke to his disciples, lectured on the subject. But the only way that peace can be made between God and man is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, Christ is our peace. And it says, he made peace. Well, how did he do it? Did he simply go and say to the Father, now, I want you to forgive men and I want you to be at peace with men? Such a thing is impossible for even the Son of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might say to the Father, I want you to accept this sinner, he had to go and make peace by the blood of his cross. That was the cost. And that is why I told you that Christ was the greatest peacemaker. Why? Who among you would shed your blood to make peace with brothers and sisters in Christ? How far would you go out of the way to make peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was prepared to go to the cross and shed his precious blood to make peace between God and man. And that is what he did. And understand this. Peace has been made. Christ made peace by the blood of his cross. And I promise you this, that now it is not God who will not accept you, but it is you who will not accept God. Therefore, Christ made peace, and the Father extends terms of peace to a whole world. And the terms of that peace is, receive my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior. And when you trust Christ as Savior, the Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now please notice, peace has been made. God is enabled now, though he is holy and though he is righteous, God is enabled by the precious blood of Christ to extend and offer a peace to sinful, guilty man, to enemies. And he says, place faith in my Son. And when you place faith in the Son of God, it says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The peace has been made, but it does not automatically come upon all men. It comes before all men. It is theirs if they will accept it by faith. But until they accept it by faith, it says, we were enemies in our minds and in our evil works. We were haters of God. And that enmity still exists in your heart, but not God's. And God pleads through the Apostle Paul, be reconciled to God. Now let me tell you a little about those two words. I told you that peace is translated to set at one, two people that are at odds. And the word reconciliation is to set at one. It means that there is a difference between two things, and when they are reconciled, they are brought together in harmony. That is beautiful. And therefore, to be reconciled to God is to be brought to peace with God. And that is what you and I, as God's children, are to do for all mankind. I wanted to read you in Luke chapter 10 that the Lord Jesus sent his disciples, and I read to you in Deuteronomy chapter 20, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God never preached judgment, preached hopelessness, preached condemnation to even those nations that were at enmity with him. This is what God said in the Old Testament. He said to Israel, to whom he had given the promised land, when you approach a city, the first thing that you are to do is to preach, to present peace to that city. And if they accept offers of peace, he said, all will be well. He said, but if they utterly refuse that offer of peace, he says, you are to destroy them completely. And the same thing is spoken in the New Testament in a spiritual way. The Lord Jesus said, when you enter into a city, go to a house and speak peace to that house. And it says, if a son of peace is in that house, your peace shall remain upon it. But if he rejects that offer of peace, it says, the peace that you offered shall return to you. And when you go out of that city, you shake the dust off your feet and say, even the dust of your city I shake off against you. And the Savior said, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the coming days than for that city. And so the greatest peacemaker was the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he wants us to be peacemakers, because you and I can be peacemakers, because we can preach peace through Jesus Christ. You and I are the only ones who can tell a sinful world how to be at peace with God. And we present Jesus Christ to them. And just as Israel, as a mighty army, went to a city and offered them peace, if they accepted it, there was peace. And you and I come to enemies of God, haters of God, and we offer terms of peace. And the condition of peace is only this: trust the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for you. And so that is the message of God to us today. Be at peace with God through Jesus Christ. And will you have trusted Christ as Savior, be at peace among yourselves. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, forgive the folly of us who have received Christ as Savior. Forgive, O Father, if we are not at peace with one another. Let us understand that you are the God of peace, and you have compelled us. You have made it necessary that if one does sin against us, if they come in repentance and want to be reconciled, we must. Had you not told us, because if you forgive not your brothers when they sin against you, neither shall your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. So let us understand that we must be at peace with one another. We are so thankful that most of us here confess faith in Christ, that we know what it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and to be justified by faith, and to have peace with God. We thank you for that great blessing, and we are aware that it only came through Him. So having received it ourselves by faith, let us be peacemakers. Let us be those that are peacemakers, and let us hear your Son say concerning us, blessed are you, peacemakers. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.